Happy Sunday, church family, and happy Father's Day. It is a joy and privilege to share this message with you on this special Sunday. We are now entering finishing week 14 of Shelter in Place. Who would have ever imagined the coronavirus pandemic would last this long? And as a nation, we are facing a pandemic of racism as well. I've shared in many conversations with my family, friends, and many of you, asking what has this coronavirus pandemic been exposing in our hearts? Now the conversation has become, what have the George Floyd's death and the Black Lives Matter movement been exposing in our hearts, especially in the areas of race and justice? As a church, how are we to respond to the civil unrest and racial tension all around us? We cannot stay silent anymore, but what are we to do? Are we to seek racial reconciliation? Are we to hold forums and online conversations about these topics? How are we to not remain complicit as a church, but to be a voice of change, courage, healing, and hope? I've been spending the past weeks reading, listening, and learning while asking God, how are we to respond? How am I to respond as a person? How are we to respond as a family, as a church? And how are we to respond for our next generation? Last week, about 40 children, youth, and adults met in front of City Hall, and we covered the city with worship and prayer. God gave us a clear assignment to pray for the peace of San Jose and to sing over the city. I kept hearing the words from an old song, "Did You Hear the Mountains Tremble?" The words go, "Do you feel the darkness tremble when all the saints join in one song? And all the streams flow as one river to wash away our brokenness. Songs that bring your hope, songs that bring your joy. Dancers who dance upon injustice." And that's what we did. We sang over the city of San Jose, and we danced and marched around City Hall. And then we took a 2-mile walk to the San Jose Police Department to deliver donuts and blessing cards our church kids wrote. At the San Jose Police Department, we were able to connect with a believer who served as our person of peace. She received the blessings over the police department. It was so neat to see each child come up to her and speak out the blessing that they wrote. It was a powerful moment. And then we all gathered around the department building and sang the famous blessing song over it. It was an amazing opportunity to simply bless our city and officials with worship and prayer. And I do believe that as God's saints, our songs ushered in hope and joy over injustice, over darkness and brokenness. Since that day, I've been meditating on this biblical idea of person of peace. I came across a quote, "Relationships are built at the speed of trust. Social change happens at the speed of relationships." I kept asking, then what is the key to change? Maybe it is relationships, trust, people, and one person at a time. We read about Jesus introducing this concept of person of peace to his followers. Let's read Luke chapter 10, 1 through 12 together. "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace or a person of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat whatever is set before you. Heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, Go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to your feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. You will find this Luke 10 model among many missionaries and missions organizations in their outreach efforts. And this is a biblical model God wants to challenge all of us with today. So what are the characteristics of the person of peace? I want to just highlight four key words that you can hopefully remember. One is welcome. Two, listen. Three, serve. And four, carry out. First, the person of peace welcomes the messenger. They receive the messenger into their home. Hospitality is extended to actually allow the messengers to remain in the house. Second, the person of peace listens to the message. They receive the message of peace that is spoken over them. They receive the message that the kingdom of God has come near. Third, the person of peace serves the messenger. The Bible says to eat and drink what they provide. And lastly, the person of peace carries out the mission and the message of Christ to their household and their community network. These persons of peace are known in the community, so they serve as the gateway into their network. They embrace Jesus and his kingdom and tell others about Jesus. So what is this message we are to take to the person of peace? It is the message of peace and reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 to 20. Let's read that together. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We have been given the ministry and message of reconciliation. He has called you and me to be Christ's ambassadors to take this message to the world. In fact, this week we have hosted an online kids adventure camp. And since last year, we continue the theme that we are ambassadors of Christ. If you ask any child what the key verse was, they will say it in their simple Bible version, that we are ambassadors of Christ who carry the message of Christ to the world. And we read in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace, shalom. It is not just a word of greeting, but it's talking about true peace. It's not just an absence of chaos, but it speaks of wellness, wholeness, and healing. Ultimately, this shalom peace can only be found through our reconciliation with God, through and only through Jesus. I have a personal example of finding persons of peace. During my college days, for 3 summers, I traveled to Oaxaca, Mexico. And for about 5 weeks, with a group of 6 to 10 people, we literally had one backpack and a water bottle. We traveled by foot, probably 4, 6, 8 hours, or we took a small pickup truck all crammed into the back of the truck bed and traveled through some unpaved roads for hours to reach people groups that were yet unreached. And on our way there, we would pray, God, prepare that person of peace who would welcome us, a bunch of Korean Americans, into their village. When we got there, we sought out for a person of peace, and we were never rejected. They offered a place for us to lay our head. They gave us food to eat, and they allowed us to stay for many days. They opened up their village and their network for people to gather to hear the good news. And we were able to serve them, and we were able to share the message of Jesus with them. From kids' VBSs to adult services, we were able to reach these unreached villages with the gospel of Jesus. I want to take a look at a few examples of persons of peace in Jesus's ministry and the impact that they've had in their communities. Samaritan woman in John 4, Jesus reached out to the most unlikely person, a Samaritan and a woman. He speaks and offers her this shalom peace to her very broken heart. Her life story is marked with pain, loss, rejection. After many marriages and divorces, he offers himself the living water, springing to eternal life. The single connection with the Samaritan woman, a person of peace, reaches an entire village. John 4:39 says, many Samaritans from that town believed him because of the woman's testimony. We read of Andrew, upon receiving Jesus' invitation to follow him, he grabbed Peter. And then we read of Peter, how he opened up his home, and Jesus was able to go in and heal his mother-in-law. And when she was healed, she rose and began to serve him. That evening, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and Jesus cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick. Peter was that person of peace whose household and eventually network of people experienced Jesus' healing and freedom. We read of Matthew, the tax collector. It says that Matthew made a great feast for Jesus in his house, and there were a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at the table. Jesus had access to the tax collectors through Matthew, the person of peace. Each of these persons of peace received and served Jesus. They listened to the message of his shalom peace, and each of them carried the mission of Jesus to their households, networks, and communities. There are two persons of peace that I want to highlight from the book of Acts. First is Cornelius. Cornelius welcomed Peter to his home. Through this angelic encounter, Cornelius took the risk and sent people to Joppa, where Peter was, to bring him back. He gathered many people to his home, and it says that he and the people listened to the message of the good news through Peter. He served Peter and his friends, and Cornelius carried out this mission. As a key leader in the Italian army, he was known as a man of good reputation. God used Cornelius as a gateway for the gospel to reach out to the Gentiles. In Acts chapter 16, we read about this jailer. Paul and Silas faced their own injustice by the hands of a slave girl owner who lost financial gain from their slave girl who practiced divination. These owners seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers, and brought terrible accusations against them, urging others to join in attacking them. They tore their garments, beat them with rods, and inflicted many blows and threw them into prison. What was their response? The Bible says that Paul and Silas at midnight were praying and singing hymns to God. We see that the strength and courage of Jesus, who himself faced injustice and death that he did not deserve, was upon Paul and Silas. The jailer witnesses this incredible sight, and then this earthquake happens and the doors open, and the jailer assumes, my life is over, because he thought Paul and Silas had left prison, these high-profile prisoners. Paul assures the jailer that they did not escape. And the jailer becomes this person of peace as he asks, what must I do to become saved? He eventually opens up his home, welcomes Paul and Silas. He welcomes the messengers, he receives the message, and he serves them. Through the jailer, an entire household gets saved. We see that God could use any situation to save souls for the kingdom. I also want to give you an update on Healing Grove Health Center and the power of having a person in peace to reach an entire community. As of this week, construction has officially ended at the center, and we are ready to open doors. It's been an incredible journey of how God has opened doors to hundreds of households in the Washington District. And the impact is tremendous and strategic because of this one person named Maria, the person of peace. Many of you who've volunteered at Healing Grove have personally met and have been well fed by Maria. She has been a key leader in that community for decades, and now serves as a gateway for Healing Grove to provide health care, culture care, soul care, and ultimately the gospel to a community in need of God's shalom peace. At the end of April, many of you joined us to distribute thousands of books and educational resources to children in the Washington area. We prepared spreadsheets and maps of where all of us would head out into to pass out these books. But I was surprised to see Maria was able to spit out everybody's names, their households, ages of children, names of all the children, and down to their exact address. This is how well connected she is. And from her, she has her own network of persons of peace. She calls them apartment leaders throughout the entire community. It's a beautiful model because impact comes through relationships. And we are praying and believing the message of Shalom Peace would impact and bring significant change to this community. Remember, relationships are built at the speed of trust, and social change happens at the speed of relationships. And change is happening one relationship at a time, one person of peace at a time. As we seek out that person of peace to reach the gospel with, God is actually inviting us to be that person of peace to others. I want to show you a picture I found this week on Facebook. It says, until you fix it here and address it here, nothing will change. Church, it starts with us. It starts with you, and it starts with me. It starts in our hearts. Am I willing to be that person of peace to someone? Are you willing to be a person of peace to someone? Remember the four-part model of finding a person of peace? First, welcome. Will you welcome a person into your life and eventually into your home? Look around you, in your neighborhood, in your schools, in your workplace, are you willing to cross over to someone who is different from you and welcome that person into your life? Are you ready to feed them at your dinner table when we all can? Second, listen. Will you listen to their story? Before you lead them to listen to the message of Jesus, are we willing to be in a posture of listening to their story? There's so many people right now hurting, broken, and in desperate need of the peace of Jesus. Will we be that person who reaches out to be that safe person that they can confide in? Third, serve. Will you serve this person? What are their needs? Are they in need of any physical, material things? Are they in need of friendship, support? How will we feed them physically, emotionally, and ultimately spiritually? And lastly, carry out. Will I carry out the mission of Christ by leading this person ultimately to Jesus, to Jesus' salvation, his hope, and his true shalom peace? This week, I was able to witness the impact of being a person of peace to somebody. For the past 5 years, I've been actively involved in Bethel's public school. I'm not known as Sandy there, I'm known as Bethel's mom. I was able to build relationships with many parents there. Some friendships remained at a surface level, while other friendships led to engage in heart, soul, and faith conversations. Last year, as I was sitting on a school bus on a field trip, one mom came up to me and said, "I always leave my conversations with you wanting to become a better person. You make me think about life, the future, and how to live with purpose." I was quite shocked to hear that. But realized that she had a hunger for more. She comes from a Catholic background, but is not actively engaged in any faith community or activities. And so as we were preparing for KAC, I decided I'm going to take a risk and ask her if she wants her daughter to join. I thought, well, everything's online, so if the daughter doesn't like it, she could easily not join the webinar on day two. So day one comes, she joins. On day three of KAC, this mom texts me, and she wrote, "Thank you so much for thinking of my daughter. She absolutely loves it. It's amazing to see her reconnect with her faith, and she keeps asking if there'll be more. I can't thank you enough." She talked about what she learned and is making connections. "I may have to break rules and come over and hug you because this happened because of you. She's asking to go to your church. Thank you." As I've been that person of peace to this mom, I'm now praying that this daughter, who joined all 5 days of KAC, will become that person of peace to her household, that through her, the gospel would reach her entire household and beyond. To all the KAC volunteers, especially many of our youth and college students, I want to personally thank you for pouring out into KAC this week. Your work is not in vain. You have been a person of peace to these children. You've welcomed them, you've listened to them, you've served them, and you've pointed them to Jesus. And I believe many of these kids may be that person of peace who takes the message of Christ, the message of peace, the message of reconciliation to their household. Let's continue to pray that KAC has such an impact for this next generation, to impact households and communities and beyond. On this Father's Day, fathers, this is my blessing to you. I want to personally bless you. God has appointed you to be a physical father to your children. And to all men, you are appointed to be a spiritual father who would lead your household to experience shalom peace. God desires to bring healing, wholeness, and wellness to you and your household. As Jesus himself speaks, peace be to this house. Would you open up your heart and home to welcome Jesus? I bless you to take your place as a watchman, gateway, and person of peace for your household and family. And from your household, may God's shalom peace impact your neighborhood, your workplaces, and communities. Remember, it starts in the heart, to the home, and then to the world. I bless you, fathers, to arise, to stay alert, and to lead well. I bless you with God's wisdom and courage. He has appointed you and is sending you on his mission. Church family, as a response, I would like to ask each of you to ask God for one name. There's one name he's asking you to be a person of peace to. Who is God inviting you to welcome and receive into your life and home? Who needs a listening ear right now to pour out their pain, brokenness, and struggles? Who can you serve? Literally, who can you feed and show hospitality to so that person can receive and experience the generous and hospitable love of Jesus? Who are you to share the message of Christ to? The message of shalom, peace, and reconciliation that only Jesus himself can offer. Would you give God your yes to be a person of peace for that person that God lays on your heart? Hear Jesus' own words from Luke chapter 10. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. May each of us be counted among God's laborers to a world in need of his shalom peace. And fathers, enjoy this special treat prepared by our own kids.
Hi Dad, happy Father's Day. Thank you for just raising us and being there for us all the time and just supporting us in everything we do.
We bless you to stay strong and for continued health.
Hey Dad, we just want to bless you today with just God's favor upon you, and we just want to thank you for everything you've done in our lives.
Father's Day. I admire how you always strive to be a better person and father.
Thank you for always looking after us.
We love you.
Thank you to all the dads at SJCAC for everything that you do. Thank you for being great role models. Bless you guys to keep growing in God.
Hey, Papa. I bless you to know that you're valued by God and by everyone around you.
Hi, Papa. I bless you to know that God is love and you don't need to worry about us, your health, or the future, and we can trust in Him.
Love you.
Happy Father's Day,
Happy
Daddy.
Happy Father's Day, Daddy.
I bless you, Daddy, with
joy,
love,
sweat,
and
peace.
May His favor be upon you.
In a thousand generations,
your family, your children,
and your children,
your children.
May His favor be upon you. In a thousand generations,
your family, and your children,
and their children,
and their children.
May His favor be upon you. In a thousand family, and your children,
and their children,
and their children.
May His presence go before you,
and behind you,
and beside you,
all around you,
and within you.
He is with you,
He is with you.
In the morning, in the evening,
in your coming,
and your going,
in your weeping.
He is for you,
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 He is for you.
Protect him because he knows my name.
When he calls out to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and give him honor. I will satisfy him with a long life and show him my salvation.